And that's the first one that he deals with here. This section he calls, it's all relative. Right? Yeah. Not in terms of, you know, related kinfolk, but in terms of to individuals. Right? So he talks about the American academic Alan Bloom. Right. He opens his best-selling book, The Closing of the American Mind, with these words, quote, "There's one thing a professor can be absolutely certain of. Almost every student entering the university believes or says he believes that truth is relative." Right. So there you are. Virtually every student is holding to the fact that truth is relative. Right. OK, so what are we getting at here with regard to this issue of relativism? Well, let's see what he has to say, right?
So as various surveys indicate, a majority of people believe that truth varies from person to person or from culture to culture.
All right, so it's not just students, so we're not just picking on students.
Right.
Alan Bloom.
Right. Right?
It's a lot of people, the majority of people, right?
Right. Right. It's the way that our culture, it's the way that our world has progressed, whether good progression or bad progression. I guess that's relative too.
So it's the idea that whatever's true for me may not be true for you, right. And whatever's true for you may not be true for me, right? Truth is relative either to the individual, he says, or to the culture. The culture determines what's true, mm-hmm. right, kind of thing.
And we did discuss this with Nancy Piercy's Finding Truth mm-hmm. book, where she says that's not necessarily inaccurate to say there are some truths that are relative to you that aren't relative to me. Mm-hmm. Or vice versa.
Right.
And it could depend on culture. There are certain truths about understanding of I have the ability to walk on water. Well, if you say that to someone who's on the equator, who's never traversed outside their little area.
Yeah, that's right. Their area of between 60 and 80 degrees, right?
You know, that could never happen. But then you show them ice. It's like, oh, I guess it is possible.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They didn't know it. Now they do. So there's no such thing as truth in the absolute or universal sense. That's what the relativist insists.
Right.
But is that true? But is it really true that all truth is relative?
Wow.
We go back to the standard claim of, are you absolutely sure about
it? Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's the one thing that we know is absolutely true. So when the question is put that way, you can perhaps already see why the claim all truth is relative is problematic.
Yeah, is it really true that all truth is relative, right? Oh, wow. You know, yeah, that's, you know, clearly a contradiction, right? Or at least it's self-referentially incoherent is what it's sometimes called. So there's a sense in which some truth claims are personal, person relative. That's what you were getting at a little bit ago, right? Chocolate ice cream tastes great. Well, to some
blasphemy.
People, yeah, right, and to others, yeah, to others, that may, or some truth claims are culture relatives, right?
Yeah.
It's polite to shake hands when you first meet someone, right? That's in a particular culture. In other cultures, it's polite to bow when you first meet someone, mm-hmm. right? So what's polite in that culture, what's true about what's polite is relative to the particular culture, right? And that's the nature of etiquette in general, mm-hmm. right? Etiquette is relative to the jurisdiction that you're in and the conventions that particular jurisdiction has come up with, right?
Sure.
But the idea that, you know, all truth claims are relative is actually, he says, quite irrational, right?
To extrapolate out from, oh, certain people like different flavors of ice cream too. Math is dependent on your own personal preference.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. That's a little hinky. A little tough to swallow. The ice cream's easier to swallow.
That's right. Even if it is chocolate.
That's right. Take, for example, the claim that water has the chemical formula H2O. Is that person relative or culture relative?
Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Surely not.
I think that's reality relative, right?
You might label it to certain things, like, you know, it's language relative, so hydrogen in Spanish might be a different word, but what we're talking about is sympatic with each other once you kind of get over that language barrier.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, is this person or cultural relative? No. If it's true that, if it's true, then it's an objective scientific fact. It lives outside person, world, even the universe. There's an objective standard of what we can say looking back at the universe and say H2O is a chemical formula.
Right, and so objective here, we mean that it's true independent of what I believe or what my culture believes, right? Or what anybody believes or what culture believes. Water has the chemical formula of H2O independently of what anybody believes, right? That's what we mean by objective scientific fact, right?
You don't believe that there's a door because you've never been taught about doors, or you subscribe to a philosophical religious understanding that matter is just empty space, and you just are accidentally running into solid particles from time to time, and I run into the door. Well, it just, the door wasn't, you know, coalescing with my cultural understanding my religious background of what matter is.
Yeah, but you ran into it, and so the nose proves something about the bloody nose, right? So not only is relativism, he tells us, implausible, but it's also, as I mentioned earlier, self-defeating is what he says, right? Just consider, is the statement, all truth is relative, meant to be taken as true, right? Presumably those who make that claim think it is true, but if it's true, then it's what it says must apply to the claim itself. So if all truth is relative, that has to include the truth that all truth is relative, right? Now we're starting to have some problems.
Right. Because then you go, well, then that one. Oh, yeah. Well, then that one. Yeah. And, well, then that one. And you just keep kind of going over it until pretty soon that one truth becomes multiple.
Right. So oftentimes when you're considering these claims, it's helpful to say, okay, if we apply the claim to itself, what happens? What does that get us, right? And if we apply this claim to itself, we have some serious problems, right? All truth is relative. Well, is that statement true or is it relative? Right? If it's true and not relative, then all truth isn't relative. If it's relative, then it's not true, at least for me, right?
So and you have to make kind of a counterclaim, like all truth is relative, except for the statement that truth is relative.
That's right. And then except for what I think.
Right. 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 And again, we saw this with Nancy Piercy, is there seems to be people that can see above and are so cognitively,
aware,
that they can look upon us peons and go,
this is the way it really is, the way I believe it,
right? And so but they still fall within a subjective value because they're also subjective, they can never get outside themselves, et cetera. So, a lot of issues with
it. So the claim is really making a universal claim, even though it's claiming that there are no universal claims, right?
Which is kind of one of the starts that we want to do as we dig into this book, is to understand that.
Right.
So the problem is this. The claim that all truth is relative appears to be an absolute and universal claim about the nature of truth.
Right.
We don't want that with subjective value.
Right.
But if it's that kind of claim, then the claim itself,
right,
it's a self-defeating claim.
Right. So when you apply it to itself, it's defeated, right?
And so as presuppositionalists, that's where we kind of want to take people, and we want to have them look at their own internal identity and see does it fail. And so for the Christian worldview, we want to say that the Christian worldview offers not only the best explanation, but the only explanation.
That allows us to know anything, right?
So we want other people to look at their internal worldview and see where it fails.
Is it coherent? Right. Does it fit together, right? Or does it result in, you know, these types of things, right? Self-defeating claims and that sort of thing, right?
And then just the opposite, too, is that we invite unbelievers to look at the internal objections or the possible objections or the claims of the Christian worldview.
And see if it's coherent, right? Yeah, if it fits together.
No one gets away from it.
That's right.